Good morning, church. It is good to be with the body of Christ on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house. We are continuing in our series in the Summer of Psalms on joy on the other side. And our text for this morning is Psalm 51. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. And if you need a Bible, there are pew Bibles. Please grab one. And please stand for the reading of God's word. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and pure when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the innermost being and in the hidden part. You will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean. Wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth might declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Father God, we ask you this morning that you would open your word to us, that like a double-edged sword, we would see both sides of repentance and joy. Lord, open our eyes so that we may see. In your Son's name and to his glory, we pray. Amen. Well, I was in elementary school, visiting my grandparents, as you see here, young, cute Kyle with his brothers visiting my grandparents. And my grandmother had just sprawled out on the table where I was sitting, her famous fudge. My brothers were snagging it like Swiper the Fox. You get that reference from Dora the Explorer. I, on the other hand, resisted the temptation. I had my suspicions about it. Well, that lasted for only about 10 minutes, and then I snagged one and inhaled it. A few hours later, my grandfather took me and my brothers to a local baseball game in Titusville, Pennsylvania. Halfway there, my stomach announced other plans. I bellowed at my grandpa to stop the car, but before I could make it to the dilapidated port-a-john on the side of the road, the fudge escaped my body. When we arrived back at the house, my grandmother was standing in the yard with a mischievous smirk on her face and a garden hose in her hand. After exiting the car, she said to me sternly, "Take them off. If you want to enter the house, take them off." And right then and there, she hosed me down. And I have never forgotten this story. And as I was reading Psalm 51 this week, I was reminded that repentance and the process of repentance is a lot like getting hosed down. This morning in Psalm 51, we hear a king's cry to be hosed down. He's covered in the stench of iniquity. He's pleading for the Lord God to cleanse him. A royal prince petitioning like a pauper, asking the all-holy, the pure one, to condescend and wash him. For he certainly needs it. Those who know the background to this story, these transgressions that he's committed aren't simply private acts of wrongdoing. He has marched rebelliously. Literally, that's what the word means. He marched rebelliously in the wrong direction, which is quite interesting given the instructions that he gives in the direction that he gives for Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. His transgressions have literally had devastating effects on others. He needs to be cleansed. He goes on to say his sin is so ubiquitous, it's so conspicuous, he cannot look anywhere and not see it. His eyes are open to sin like Adam and Eve. But unlike them, he doesn't hide. He doesn't try to cover himself. He asks to be clean. But the cleaning that he needs isn't a mere bubble bath. He's calling for a complete purgation, a complete cleansing of all. Leave nothing undone. He wants to be hosed inside and out. In fact, what he's really asking for is to be trampled upon, because this word that he uses only in the Psalms, this word he uses, this wash word, means to trample upon. Because in the ancient Near East, that is how you laundered. That is how you did your laundry, by stepping on it. In essence, his prayer is, launder me, Lord. Trample upon me with your holy feet so that I might be clean. Step on me and stomp me to squeeze out the dirt. My bones are going to be crushed in the process. I know that. And note, you don't have to heal them. Just make them rejoice. Make the bones that you crush rejoice. I'm not asking you to heal them. It is only after this cleansing that he is able to hear joy and gladness. It's only after his repentance does he ask for the joy of the Lord's salvation to be brought back to him. You don't get joy without repentance. In fact, throughout Psalm 51, clean and joy mean the same thing: to be bright. To be clean is to be bright. And to be full of joy is to be bright. Notice, though, his reason for wanting joy, though, as we're considering in our series, Joy on the Other Side. Why do we want joy? Notice why King David wants it. He doesn't want it for himself or for his own enjoyment. He wants it so that he can teach others. And actually, so that he can goad others into the kingdom, into Yahweh's ways. He longs for the joy of the Lord's salvation so that he can convert sinners and transgressors. This is no selfish spirituality. He has a much bigger outlook. His joy is meant for something much more than his own relief and enjoyment. It's meant to reform those who, like him, have marched in the wrong direction, who have been rebellious. May my joy be a testimony. May it be an evangelism. May it be a good news that they would see and repent. Even his singing, the singing of the Lord's righteousness, is a resounding ring of cry of triumph. For you have saved me. His delight is in what his joy can do. Clean and joy mean the same thing. To be bright. To be cleansed is to become bright. To become bright is to be full of joy. But there is no brightness without repentance. There is no repentance without being hosed down or trampled upon. There is no peace without purgation. Sadly, many in the church today have come to believe that repentance is saying a few words of remorse at bedtime as they recount today's misdeeds. That is, if they can remember to do so and they don't fall asleep while they're doing it. But there's a rich tradition in the church of the practice of repentance. We, however, treat it like spiritual spring cleaning that we do once a year during Lent. But the psalmist, King David, our Lord and Savior, calls us to more repentance than that. As the psalmist reveals, repentance is so much more than saying, "I'm sorry." In fact, there's a particular sequence even to his own practice of repentance. And I would like to delineate those five spiritual moves that he makes, if you will. Let us call it the call, cleanse, crush, create, and convert sequence. First, he calls upon the Lord to come closer, to surround and encircle him on all sides. You see, his grime and his guilt could lead him to hide from the Lord, to cower because of his sin, to cover himself and act as if he is pure. But he doesn't do that. He invokes the Lord's name and invites him to become more present. Condescend to me. Step down to your throne, O holy and pure one. For I am impure and I am unholy. Condescend to me. Compass me. Surround me with your compassion. For I am unworthy. Second, he asks for pardon for what he has done, for the Lord to cleanse him of his iniquities. But again, going back to our earlier note, this isn't just forgiveness for one sin he did that day. He's acknowledging and recognizing his life of sin. For I was born into iniquity, and in sins did my mother conceive me. It's not just now, it's then. I am a sinner. I have sinned. He is asking to be hosed down and to be purged of all of his sin. Before, now, and in the future. Third, he pleads with the Lord to crush any possibility of future sin and rebellious marching. You see, his bones represent the patterns and practices of his lifestyle, how he has become solid in a way of living that is wrong. His legs and feet have learned to march rebelliously, and he calls upon the Lord to crush those bones. Do not let me walk away from you again. They need to be broken so that they can be realigned to march the right way. Fourth, he pleads with the Lord to create in him a new heart. And as we know, the heart is the locus of our dreams, of our desires. Lord, create in me a new heart. For my desires and my dreams do not align with your kingdom. They have led me to march rebelliously. He is praying that the Lord would break these selfish desires and dreams and give him new ones that would not lead him into temptation. Finally, he asked the Lord to use him to make converts of sinners. May my joy, may my salvation be a testimony to others. May it convert sinners. May it lead trespassers back to your commandments. He wants his confession of sin to lead to a profession of salvation for others. My friends, what we have here is a model repenter. He doesn't hide from the truth or guilt. He doesn't hold back any sin. He doesn't blame others. He doesn't avoid judgment. He doesn't seek restoration for his own consolation or joy for his own enjoyment. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation so that you can be glorified and your kingdom can be advanced. Without joy, Christianity is incomprehensible. It is only as joy that the church was victorious in the world, and it lost the world when it lost that joy. It ceased to be a credible witness. The most terrible accusation against Christians was uttered by Friedrich Nietzsche when he said, "Christians have no joy." I have always been convicted by this quote from Alexander Schmemann. What is a church without joy? But then again, what is a church without repentance? If we want to be a credible witness to the world that there is life and joy in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we have to repent. We have to learn the practice of repentance like King David. To a disciple of Jesus Christ, the practice of repentance should be more like riding a bike than pulling teeth. We have to appreciate, though, what we're up against. We are products of our culture, and we swim in a culture that renders repentance almost inconceivable, distasteful, a sign of weakness, anathema. We've been taught to sneer at apology. I'm sorry is a sign of weakness. Everyone wants to avoid apologizing, even in the church. But if we can't apologize, how can we confess our sins? How can we call the world to gleefully confess its sins if we ourselves cannot stomach apologizing? If we don't practice repentance, how can we teach others to repent if we only treat repentance like spiritual spring cleaning during Lent? Repentance has become a four-letter word in the church, and very few want to do it. But doesn't this conflict with the gospel? Doesn't repentance conflict with the gospel in some respects? Hasn't he saved us from our sins? Isn't the good news of being a disciple of Jesus Christ that we don't have to repent anymore? On the contrary, I think the good news of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is that we are now able to repent all the time. And there is an advocate for us when we do. You see, there's no division or separation between repentance and baptism. And baptism in the Eucharist, a celebration of joy because we have an advocate, because we can be whole, because we can be nourished despite stinking, despite needing to be hosed down. Confession and absolution go hand in hand. Repentance and salvation go hand in hand. He is always waiting in the yard to hose us down. If you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength, my friends, we have to get down on our knees. Stop hiding your sin. Stop protecting your bones. Stop believing your heart is pure when it's not. Stop avoiding repentance. Be hosed down and trampled upon, for the road to joy is paved with crushed bones and broken hearts. Broken body and shed blood. There is joy in that. There is joy in repentance. There is joy on the other side of repentance. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And Lord, you reign. You reign because you can save, because you can clean, because you can forgive. Lord, this table that you invite us to is a place in which your body was broken and your blood was spilled so that we can experience the joy of coming humbly, that we can feast on you and experience your joy despite our confession of sin. Lord, we ask that you would prompt our hearts to be right, to be honest, to be true repenters who can rely on and feed on you and not ourselves. May we continue to live lives of joy through repentance that is a witness to the world of a kingdom of life and of love and of joy. To you be the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.